you will be monitoring.
4HX, mobile.
4HX, this is KO4ULP. How are you today, Patrick?
I'm good, Alexander. How are you doing this afternoon? I have a question for you.
Ahead.
From Ronnie. If you come out of his driveway and turn left, like you're going back to 414, about two houses up, there is a house with several antennas behind it. Do you know what those are?
So, let me understand what you're saying. So, come off of 414, head towards Barrett's Garage, and then on the right, there is a house. It's kind of, it's off the road to, you get to the driveway, you go off one road, and then you turn, like, left instantly. Is that the house?
Wrong way. Coming out of Ronnie's, going back toward 414. You will see it on your right. It's right there at the end of the loop, where you can make the little loop in front of Ronnie. It's right there at the edge of the road.
What do you mean, which loop? Yeah, you've lost me at this point.
You know, the road directly across from Ronnie just makes a loop around from one side of his driveway to the other on the opposite side of the road.
Okay, so the mechanic shop that I was talking about was Barrett's. If you're thinking of a different one named Ronnie, I'm not sure here. I'm not familiar with that place over there.
You are correct. That is Ronnie Barrett's, Barrett's Garage.
Okay, now I understand. Okay, I didn't know it was like a first name was Ronnie or something. Okay, so you're talking about making the loop in his driveway?
Nope, on the other side of the road. That road just makes a loop.
So, okay, now I think I got you. So if you'd head down Old Boswell, you'd pass his garage, you would make a right, and then you continue on that road, and make another right, and that loop you back onto Old Boswell, and you could a little bit past his garage.
Yes, but we're dealing with coming out of Mr. Barrett's, turning left, going back toward 414. There is a house on the right that has a fenced yard, and it has some funky antenna set up in the backyard. I was just curious if you knew who that was and what that was for.
I'm pretty sure, yes. Is the fenced in backyard kind of also treed in a little bit?
Yes, it is.
I'm pretty sure, yes, I know where you're talking about now. That would be, his name is James. He's also a ham radio operator. He's mostly on HF. I'm blanking on his call sign. I went over and talked to him once.
And I figured it was an HF antenna, but I didn't know. I'm just curious if you ever made contact with him there.
2 meters, yeah. So, never, you know, only talked to him face to face. Gave me a 20-meter antenna and some coaxial cables, so, yeah. As soon as I get my general, I'll be able to use that antenna.
You working toward getting your general?
I need to print out the stuff and start studying. I'd like to get my general just sitting down and just studying, which I do not particularly love, but I want my journal, so I'll do it sometime.
But you seem like a very bright young man.
I have any doubt if I can do it, just, you know, finding that, you know, doing the, setting aside the time to do it.
It takes a healthy commitment of time, that's for sure.
You know, at this point my schedule will probably mean giving up my, you know, time on the air for maybe a few weeks, or maybe I could do it in, you know, I mean, because normally take fairly long car drives, you know, to and forth, good bit. We do most of our living, I guess, in Hendersonville, North Carolina, so, yeah.
There you minute. I wouldn't rush it. You got plenty of time.
You know, I'd like to score more on HF because so far I've not had that much luck on 10 meters. I only made 4 contacts, and then getting my antenna set up right has been a hassle. My antenna was given to me, the guy made it, and he had the antenna set of a 1-to-1 SWR. And then after I set it up, I had it on the house. It was a very weird angle, and I needed a tuner to be able to operate. And now I built myself kind of a little tower-ish, and I think I stretched it a little too far back. It's not quite right there either, so it's still not giving the... It's like still over like 3 SWR without using the tuner.
Try to get that down a little bit if you can, but your tuner should take care of it.
Take care of it just fine. It's just, the tuner was borrowed, so I just need to, get my antenna to the spot so that way I can get my antenna in the right spot that I can give back the tuner.
Figure it out. That way you can get it set up. Like I said, you seem like a very bright young man.
So anyway, about ferrets. So what time do you normally... What time do you stop at his place?
The last stop on Mondays, and it can be anywhere from about 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, depending on how my day is going.
Excuse me, we never find the time to drop by and, I'd like to see the truck. Then see all the, professional mechanic tools, and if you got any in there. Because, I've been doing a little bit of work with mechanics. Right now I'm trying to fix up an old Honda engine. It's 8 horsepower. It's been sitting for about 11 years, so I can get it running just off of starting fluid, but there's no gas. Gas coming into the carburetor, but the carburetor was not delivering it to the piston, so the only way to get it going was to run it off of starter spray. So I have a new carburetor ordered because that was the problem. So the carburetor was gunked up, really bad, so it's, pretty much no cleaning it, and plus it's old, so it's hard to get the screw out to clean it, and strip the screw in the process anyway, so, yeah. And plus, the carburetor comes with a fuel filter, which help, not create the same, won't have the same problem again.
New ethanol gas is sure doing a number on small engine carburetors.
Was run with ethanol. I don't think it was. It sat with, gas in the carburetor, roughly a little bit of gas in the carburetor for 10, 11 years, which I guess that had something to do with it.
Do it, but he gets you a new carburetor. I'm sure you'll get it running. Those are pretty good engines. But, if you know anything about cars, this is definitely a good industry to pick up and learn, and you can make a good living at doing it if you get good at it. But it is an expensive career to get into.
I cannot figure anything out on a modern car, but I have an old boat. It has a 351 horsepower Ford engine in it. It's pretty much the same as a Ford Mustang engine, and we've had to fix it or work on it so much, I can pretty much identify every single part on that you can see on that engine and tell you what it is and what it does. And then small engines I've figured out too. I've taken apart a chainsaw and even took it apart so I could even see the piston, and I was able to, that really got me off on how gas engines work, being able to kind of play with that piston, move it up and down to see how it actually spins.
That is for sure. You just hang in there, and like I said, if this is something you wanted to make a career out of, it is definitely a need right now. There's a drastic shortage in this industry, and you can make a really good living at it.
MLP Station ID, yeah. It's something I sure do enjoy doing, and, yeah, we went over to Barrett's one time since we were homeschooling. He just gave us kind of a little bit of a talk on, how we did the mechanic stuff. And, yeah, he was telling us how expensive, the tools are. and, you know, especially now, just a small toolkit was, you know, like in the thousands, and we first started, I think he got it for like under 400 or something.
He's got quite the tool selection over there, that's for sure. He's got no shortage of them.
There, just the shop was full of tools, and they had three sheds out of the back full of tools. Pretty much, I think, almost anything you do, pretty much any job, especially a job with those all those tools.
A lot of small engines all the way up to cars and trucks, so he does a pretty good job at all of it.
Yes, he always has some kind of car or engine down there. I don't think, especially lately, I've never seen it empty, you know. Whenever we drive or ride a bike down there, there's always something in the garage.
He stays busy and he makes a good living doing it, so that's why I say, it's definitely a good career to get into, but it will take you some time to accumulate the tools you need and the knowledge you need to be good at working on the modern cars, because they're so technical. But if you start now with that kind of stuff, it would really benefit you.
You know, the modern cars, just, I can't even figure out anything on them. I can understand all of the things that work on an old engine, then buy all those parts, but the modern car, I mean, I don't even really know where the spark plugs are. It's just, yeah, they pack everything so tight and so much, and everything controlled by the computer, which, you know, but I'll have to, you know, learn from that. That's, yeah, but, you know, you almost, if you could find someone to work on an old engine, because all these new mechanics are trying, I guess, to work on the new engines. I mean, the thing is, learning how to work on an old engine might be a desired skill in the future.
No, they're trying to do away with the internal combustion engine altogether. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but they're sure making a push for it. So learning how to work on the electrical side of it will benefit you greatly, because that's where everything's heading. So learning how electricity works and how to deal with the circuits, computer circuits and that stuff, is definitely going to be a benefit to you. I know it was for me when I was working on them. You had to know electrical, mechanical, hydraulics. I mean, you had to know it all, not just one.
I learned, you know, because I think all the steering for cars now is pretty much hydraulics, so, yeah. And electrical, I've done a little bit of work around with electrical, too. I pretty much, you know, kind of learning all I can with this mechanics, electrical side and gas side.
No, knowledge is something nobody can take away from you.
It's for sure, and, you know, ham radio, I guess, really opened it up for me in a way, because of all the knowledge I had to learn while studying, and then that led me with more knowledge for electrical stuff, and then that led me, well, why not try some gas and then stuff, and then learned how that works. So I guess it all ties down to my studying that I did for my radio license.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm excited to hear somebody your age taking an interest in the automotive field and the ham radio field. I wish I could have done it when I was your age.
I've always enjoyed fiddling around with stuff, even from, you know, when I was younger, just taking stuff apart and seeing how it worked, even though I never really got anywhere because I didn't have any tools or know-how to test anything. But, yeah, now that I can actually figure out and learn actually how to not just take it apart, but put it back together and fix it, too.
About, no matter if you can take it apart, you got to be able to put it back together and make it work.
I still learn the, you know, put back together. I'm not quite as good as taking the things apart. I should say it's a lot easier than putting it back together. But, yes, I mean, yeah.
You'll be there. You'll get there. And like I say, if you go over and hang out with Mr. Barrett there, that'd be a good opportunity for you to learn a lot of things. In the summertime, maybe when you can go over there and kind of clean up around the shop, and he'll teach you a few things. If that was all right with your parents and him, it might be a good opportunity for you.
You know, we kind of asked him about that, if he'd be willing to teach us some, but he said he'd give us a call, you know, but he's just been so busy lately, he hasn't found the time. And plus, we went over there on a really busy day, so I don't know if he remembered or not.
if it might be a good opportunity to go introduce yourself again when it slows down a little bit for him. He's had a lot going on, not necessarily would work.
And, you know, also have also been learning, I guess, from Russell, K2RCL, because he's, you know, the one kind of working on our boat and learning how to diagnose from there, because, yeah, our boat's given us a lot of trouble this year, which is, you know, kind of disappointing when you go on the lake and, you know, you don't, the boat dies, but it's kind of gives me, you know, given me a lot of opportunity to learn about, you know, that I would have never had the opportunity before. When I first got the boat, I didn't know what anything did on this thing. I didn't even know what the carburetor was. Now I understand it completely.
Cut it the right wing. Just because something happens, always use that as an opportunity to learn in that situation what not to do again or how to fix it when it does happen.
I think we finally got the boat figured out. It's a fuel issue problem because last time we took it out, we changed the filter housing and changed the fuel pump, and we put the old pump back on to see if that would make a difference, and it ran a lot better. It just doesn't like to pull under load. It'll pull the wakeboard just fine, but if you put the tube on it, it just really bogs down and won't run smooth.
Russell will get it figured out, and he's a pretty smart guy.
He's on that thing for hours, and, you know, it's, in other words, not, you know, he's worked on it so long, he's about done with it, so, but we're going to try to put it on a different fuel filter that's, like, the, I guess, is recommended for it, and made, I guess, I don't know, company, I guess, recommended it, I should say.
Well, that'll be a good place to start. But I am approaching the state line, so I'm going to have to say 7-3. It was good to talk to you this afternoon, Alexander, as usual, and I enjoy it. So thank you for your company on the ride home, KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now.
7-3, so good rest of your evening. This is KO4 ULP, and I'll be clear.
For DJW Mobile.